Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries, and we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in, and this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m., I will come with a word from the Lord this evening. Amen. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, "Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed." The effective, permanent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. At this time, let us pray. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you have given us a community of supporters called the church. Let our fellowship be a reflection of the love we feel for each other and the love we feel for you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And at this time, I will play another selection.
Wonder the kind of clothes that he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he'd drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? 'Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Some would ever see, and you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. He looks like you. Retreat, 'cause he loves like you.
want to know what he looks like. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do?
Amen. Praise be to God. So what would Jesus do? Let us pray. Dear Lord, we have fallen short of your commandments, and you have given us. You have blessed us with your love and your mercy. Enable us to be merciful toward others. Father, just as you have been merciful to us, and let us share your love with all whom we meet in this day and every day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, I will come with a mighty word from God this evening. Amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I will play another selection. Even if those tasks are unpleasant, don't let us put off until tomorrow what we should do today. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And I will play another selection. After the selection, I will come back with our devotional message for this evening. Amen. Praise be to God.
Just gotta wait. You gotta trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
He's a God.
You can't hurry.
You can't hurry.
He'll be there.
Don't you worry.
Oh, well, he may not come when you call him, but he's right on time. Oh, you can't hurry, God. Oh, no, you just gotta wait. Gotta trust him and give him time. No matter how long it takes, he's a God.
He's a God.
You can't hurry.
Gonna wait on him until my change come. Praise be to God. And now it is time for our devotional message. Amen. Which is entitled, Take the Step. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Psalm 17, verse 5. And it says, my steps have held fast to your path, Praise be to God. What is holding you back from doing God's will? Do you realize when he is calling out to you? As you pray, it may be that you sense a prompting to take a certain course of action, but perhaps it scares you or doesn't make sense. Often, people say no to the Lord because they are waiting for the big picture of God's will instead of walking with him step by step. So they wait and resist his promptings because of their fears of the unknown. Sadly, if you ignore God in the small things long enough, you will develop a resistance to his voice. Don't let that happen. Although there are times that God reveals his ultimate goals, such as making Abraham into a great nation in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. More often than that, God walks with us step by step. Remember, the Lord did not tell Abraham where he was going, only that he would lead. Abraham had to obey one step at a time, just like we do. So if God's will is confusing or intimidating you today, return to the most recent time you heard him clearly and obey whatever he instructs you to do. That one act will open the door to taking hold of all he has for you. Amen. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Let us pray. Jesus, we want to do your will. Remind us of the last thing you told us to do and empower us to go forward in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection. Our God is awesome. Praise God.
Everybody lift your hands as we celebrate the greatness of our God. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. The worship song that says this, our God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. Come on, our God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Gives strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, say my God is awesome. He can move mountains. Keep me in the valley. Hide me from the rain. My God is awesome. He heals me when I'm broken. Strength where I've been weak. Forever he'll reign. Come on, if you believe it, lift your voice and say, favor of salvation. By his stripes, I'm healed. My God is awesome. Today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on and testify if you know he's awesome. Say it. Come on and lift your voice.
To God be the glory. Awesome. Our God. Let us pray. Dear Lord, give us wisdom and perspective. Guide us according to your plans for our life and according to your commandments. And keep us mindful, dear Lord, that your truth is and will forever be the ultimate truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Okay. Bread of life. Sent down the glory. Many things you were on earth, a holy king of God. I've been sad, but you are the living word, say it now. Come on. Come on, Houston, you can say it one time with us. Send down some glory. Many things. Come on, somebody say it.
Many things you were.
Gentle
Redeemer,
God with us,
God with us, the living truth, and what a friend we have in you
are an awesome ruler,
Gentle
Redeemer, God with us,
together,
this is what we like to call you, Jesus. That's what we call you, yeah. You were born in a manger, but on a tree you died to save man.
Jesus.
That's what we call you.
Dear Lord, we are your creation, and you created us for a reason. Give us the wisdom to follow your direction for our life's journey. Let us do your work here on earth by seeking your will and living it. Know that when we trust in you, Father, we are eternally blessed. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, play another selection. In Psalm 77 and 14 in the CSB says, you are the God who works wonders. You reveal your strength among the peoples. If you haven't seen any of God's miracles lately, you haven't been looking. Throughout history, the Creator has intervened in the course of human events in ways that cannot be explained by science or human rational. And he's still doing so today. God's miracles are not limited to special occasions, nor are they witnessed by a select few. God is crafting his wonders all around us. The miracles of the birth of a new baby, the miracle of a world renewing itself with every sunrise, the miracle of lives transformed by God's love and grace. Each day, God's handiwork is evident for all to see and experience. Today, seize the opportunity to inspect God's hand at work. His miracles come in a variety of shapes and sizes. Keep your eyes and your heart open. Be watchful, and you'll soon be amazed. When we face an impossible situation, all self-reliance and self-confidence must melt away. We must be totally dependent on him for the resources. I could go through this day, obviously, to the miracles all around me, or I could tune in and enjoy. Faith means believing in realities that go beyond sense and sight. It is the awareness of unseen divine realities all around us. Amen? Here lies the tremendous mystery that God should be all-powerful, yet refuse to coerce. He summons us to cooperation. We are honored in being given the opportunity to participate in his good deeds. Remember how he asks for help in performing his miracles. Filled the water pots. Stretch out your hand. Distribute the loaves. Amen. So God is in the business of doing miraculous things. You should never be afraid to ask him for a miracle. It says in Mark 10:27 in the CSB, looking at them, Jesus said, "With men it is impossible, but not with God, because all things are possible with God." Amen? In 1 Corinthians 2:9 in the New King James Version says, "But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him." Praise be to God. In John 14:12, and the CSB says, "I assure you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and he will do even greater works than these, because I am going to the Father." And Luke 1:37 in the CSB says, "For nothing will be impossible with God." Amen. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his mighty word. Let us pray. Dear God, nothing is impossible for you. Your infinite power is beyond human understanding. Keep us always mindful of your strength. When we lose hope, give us faith. when others lose hope, let us tell them of your glory and your works. Today, Lord, let us expect the miraculous and let us trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. At this time, I will play a short selection.
Throughout my life, there have been many trials and tribulations. But there's one thing I come to know, without a doubt, is that God can and God will. Therefore, I know I can always.
When you're feeling down, you need to know that there's a safe place you can go to share your despair.
Fall down on your knees, they help to save your feet.
Cast your cares on him, he'll supply all your needs. Friends and family, they can walk away. But when you call on God, he'll come and save the day. He loves and cares for you and he will see you through.
You both can walk hand in hand through the storm, he will say.
And full of grace and grace. My role as a leader better recognize something like a preacher. From dust to dust, fall down to my knees. I wipe my slate clean from my mind at ease. He's the rock that I always can lean on at all times. A name I can call on. Jesus.
God. At this time, I will play another selection, and after the selection, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Praise be to God.
Sacrifice.
Praise be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father. Amen, amen, amen. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Galatians, chapter 6. That's the book of Galatians, chapter 6. And we're going to read verses 11 through 18. Amen. And again, I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Galatians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. And it says, and this is Paul's final advice. Notice what large letters I use as I write these closing words in my own handwriting. Those who are trying to force you to be circumcised want to look good to others. They don't want to be persecuted for teaching that the cross of Christ alone can save. Even when those who advocate circumcision don't keep the whole law themselves, they only want you to be circumcised so they can boast about it and claim you as their disciples. As for me, may I never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, my interest in this world has been crucified, and the world's interest in me has also died. It doesn't matter whether we have been circumcised or not. Counts is whether we have been transformed into a new creation. May God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. From now on, don't let anyone trouble me with these things. For I bear on my body the scars that showed I belong to Jesus. Dear brothers and sisters, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. No, excuse me. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. And may the Lord add a blessing to the hearing, the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. Excuse me. Precious and heavenly Father, I come as humbly as I know how to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise, and to thank you for all that you are doing and all that you are going to do. And thank you for the opportunity to wake up this morning, clothed in my right mind and divine healing in my body, thanking you for blessing me with all of my needs, Lord God. Thank you for my family, my friends, my neighbors, and even my enemies, Lord God. Thank you for your grace and mercy, Lord God. Thank you for forgiving us for our sins, Lord God, present, past, and future, Lord God. Thank you for just being who you are, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was dying on the cross for our sins, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the Holy Spirit that was sent back to dwell within us, Lord God, to guide us in the way that you would have us to go, Lord God, to do your will and purpose on here on this earth, Lord God. We thank you for allowing your Holy Spirit to just guide us in the way that you would have us to go, Lord God. Thank you for providing us with a roof over our head, food on our tables, clothes on our backs, Lord God. Thank you for blessing our homes, our children, our loved ones, our enemies, Lord God. We ask that you go down by the hospitals and nursing homes and prison cells and juvenile halls, Lord God. Somebody, Lord God, needs you, Lord God. Somebody's calling upon your name, Lord God, asking for your help, Lord God. Comfort those who are in pain, Lord God. Comfort those who are mourning, Lord God. Wrap your loving arms around them, Lord God, and guide them in the way that you would have them to go, Lord God. We thank you. We honor and adore you, Lord God. We thank you for allowing us to see another day, giving us the strength to do your will, Lord God. We thank you, we praise you, we give you all the glory, but most of all, Lord God, we love you. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Now, Lord God, I ask that you remove self out of the way and allow the Holy Spirit to bring forth what thus says the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. So Paul's argument in Galatians is that if these Gentile Christians submit to circumcision as a symbol of their commitment to the Jewish law, they have nullified the power of the cross of Christ. Their circumcision would be a sign of dependency on the law and not grace for salvation. The law is not the gospel of Christ. It is not a gospel at all. It's in Galatians 1, 6 and 7 says, amen. Amen. Bear with me 1 minute till I get to Galatians 6 and 7, where it says, I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God, who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Amen? So this thought is at the heart of our scripture reading today. It is summed up in our text. Galatians 6 and 14 in the NIV says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul glorified not in the law, but in the cross. Amen. Praise God. My text for this evening, which is coming from Galatians 6 and 14 in the NIV, and it says, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And my title for this message is Glorying in the Cross. Praise be to God. Glorying in the cross. Tonight, my message is divided into four paragraphs. Amen? In Galatians 6:12-14, Paul glorified in the cross as the test of motivation. What were the motives of these Judeans? What was Paul's motive? Their first motive was human pride. So those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. Galatians 6:12 in the NIV, Paul was saying, they would make capital out of your compliance. They would boast of having won you over to carnal rights. The teaching of the Judeans was only a pious form of human pride. Amen? Their second motive was fear. Second, fear. They are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. In Galatians 6:12, the NIV. In effect, Paul was saying those who would force circumcision on you have no sincere faith in its value. Their motive is quite different. They merely hope to save themselves from persecution for professing the cross of Christ. Both Judaism and the Roman authorities would tolerate a Christianity that was only a sect of the Jewish religion. But the cross set the Christians apart in such a way as to bring persecution from both Jews and Romans. And the third motive was selfishness or worldliness. Paul said in Galatians 6:13, not even those who are circumcised obey the law. Yet they wanted you to be circumcised, that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. In other words, look at their inconsistency. They advocate circumcision, and yet they themselves neglect the ordinance of the law. Their motives are those of worldly men. Amen? Their basic motivation is selfishness. They want to be able to boast of the number of Gentiles to be circumcised as a result of their efforts. Praise be to God. Paul's motive was pure and true to the gospel. He said in Galatians 6:14 in the NIV, May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul placed no value here on his impeccable credentials as a Jew. He could describe himself as a Pharisee, descending from Pharisees in Acts 23 and 6. And in writing to the church at Philippi, he listed his entire pedigree. Philippians 3, 4 through 6, from the Jewish standpoint, these were real credentials. But how did Paul regard them? As rubbish. He said in Philippians 3 and 7 in the NIV, whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Paul glorified only in the cross. If he could be in one of our churches service today, no doubt he would gladly sing with us. In the cross of Christ I glory, towering over the wrecks of time. All the light of sacred story gathers around that head sublime. John bowing, in the cross of Christ I glory. Paul glorified in the cross as the means of separation. The cross separates believers from unbelievers. The Jews deplore the offense or scandal of the cross. Some Jews might have accepted Jesus as the Messiah, but they could not accept a crucified Messiah, a Savior on a cross. They wondered, how could God permit this wonderful being to experience the degrading, agonizing penalty of the cross? The apostles pointed to the Old Testament, explaining that the crucifixion was a part of the Messiah's experience described and predicted hundreds of years earlier. Praise be to God. Preaching in the temple counts after the healing of the man who was crippled from birth. Peter said in Acts 3 and 18 in the NIV, but this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that this Christ would suffer. For the most part, the Jews would not accept this teaching, nor would many of the Gentiles. To the Jews, the cross was a stumbling block. To the Gentiles, foolishness. To Paul, the cross was God's means of salvation. In personal terms, Paul said of the cross in Galatians 6 and 14 in the NIV, may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul considered this acceptance of the crucified Christ at the end of his life in the world and the beginning of a new life in Christ. To him, the world's appeal was dead. Earlier in Galatians, Paul declared in Galatians 2 and 20 and the NIV, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. The cross is primarily. All other things are secondary. Paul made this boast in Christ and him crucified. In 614 NIV, the world has been crucified to me. He was saying, what is the world to me now? What are all the things of which I once boasted? They are crucified. Paul also said that he had been crucified to the world. He said farewell to the world, and the world said farewell to him. His life's work was a continuous protest against the spirit of the worldliness. Paul's, like his master, was in Isaiah 53:3, despised and rejected of men. And all because of Christ crucified, the cross separates believers from the world. It separated Paul. It separates us. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Paul glorified in the cross as the way of salvation. Paul continued in Galatians 6:15 in the NIV, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. A new creation, externals do not count. What counts is being a new creature in Christ Jesus, being transformed by the powers of God's Spirit. The acceptance of Christ crucified is the only way of salvation. Jesus said on his last journey to Jerusalem, whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciples. In Luke 14:27 in the NIV. The commentator, Frank Stagg, wrote, the cross stands for death. In principle, it is death to self if in the state, in the act of surrender to Christ. It is the denial of the self that would have its own being apart from God and others. Although it is death, it is also life. The cross is life through death. It is finding a new way of life by rejecting the way of self-love, self-trust, and self-assertion. The cross is God's way of salvation. There is no other. Hallelujah. Paul glorified in the cross as the touchstone of Christianity unity. A faithful pastor once said, I have little time for ecumenism, the $4 word for church union, with the proposition you surrender a little of what you believe, and I will surrender a little of what I believe, and by we will get together. Let me say frankly and bluntly that until by the scriptures it is shown me that I am in error, I will not give up one jot nor one tittle of what I believe, but I will meet any man at the foot of the cross. That is the touchstone, the man who trusts in the redeeming merits of Christ's death on the cross for his sins. And only in that is a Christian, and the one who does not is not a Christian. The man who throws himself like an empty ring upon the grace of God, made possible by the cross, is my brother in Christ, and I care not what the other factors may be. Listen to Paul again in Galatians 6 and 15. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. God is willing to accept Jews and Gentiles alike. It makes no difference. He blesses all who agree to live by his principles. But the key phrase here is in verse 16. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. The Israel of God is in implied contrast to the Israel of the flesh. It stands here not for the faithful converts from the circumcision alone, but for spiritual Israel generally. The whole body of believers, whether Jew or Gentile. The entire argument of Galatians is against creating two groups of believers, Jews, the Jewish, and Gentiles. Paul's clear position is that Jews and Gentiles are one in Christ, Galatians 3 and 28. Thus, the true Israels of God is a bold way of stressing this truth. Paul pronounces a benediction of peace and mercy on a third race of people, neither Jews nor Gentiles, but Christians. The cross is the touchstone of Christianity unity. So you see, my brothers and sisters, proud, vain, and carnal hearts are content with just so much religion as will help to keep up a fair show. But the apostle professes his own faith, hope, and joy, and that his principle, glory, was in the cross of Christ, by which is here meant his suffering and death on the cross, the doctrine of salvation by a crucified Redeemer, by Christ or by the cross of Christ. The world is crucified to the believer, and he to the world. The more we consider suffering of the Redeemer from the world, the less likely shall we be to love the world. The apostle was as little affected by his charms as a beholder would be of anything which had been pleasing in the face of a crucified person. When he beholds it blackened in the agonies of death, he was no more affected by the objects around him than one who is expiring would be struck with any of the prospect his dying eyes might view from the cross on which he hung. And as to those who have truly believed in Christ Jesus, all things are counted as utterly worthless compared with him. There is a new creation. Old things are passed away, and new views on and dispositions are brought in under the regenerating influences of God the Holy Spirit. Believers are brought into a new world and being created in Christ Jesus unto good works, formed to a life of holiness. It is a change of mind and heart whereby we are enabled to believe in the Lord Jesus and to live to God. And where this inward practical religion is wanting outward professions or names will never stand in any step. Steve. A new creation to the image of Christ as showing faith in him is the greatest distinction between one man and another, and a blessing is declared on all who walk according to this rule. The blessings are peace and mercy, peace with God and our conscience, and all the comfort of this life as far as they are needful, and mercy and interest in the free love and favor of God in Christ, the spring and fountain of all other blessings. The written word of God is the rule we are to go by, both in its doctrines and precepts. May this grace ever be with our spirits to sanctify, quicken, and cheer us. And may we always be ready to maintain the honor of that which is indeed our lives. The apostle had in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus, the scars of wounds from persecuting enemies for his cleaving to Christ and the doctrines of the gospel. The apostle calls the Galatians his brethren. Therein, he shows his humility and his tender affection for them, and he takes his leave with a very serious prayer, and that they might enjoy the favor of Christ Jesus, both in its effect and in its evidence. We need desire no more to make us happy than the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle does not pray that the law of Moses or the righteousness of works, but that the grace of Christ might be with them, that it might be in their hearts and with their spirits, quickening, comforting, and strengthening them. To all which he sets his amen, sanctify his desire that so it might be, and his faith that so it would be. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And as I bring this message to a close this evening, I just want to say, the cross is not simple. The cross is not simply a historical event that occurred 2,000 years ago. It is a spiritual fact now. We are involved. Jesus' choice of the cross as God's way to redeem humankind has been vindicated by thousands who, like Paul, have glorified in the cross. What about you and me? I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is unto me. Glorying in the cross. And if you, my brothers and sisters, have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of faith after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Lord, please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And the next step you have to do is to ask and pray to the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible-based church. Amen. To further your Christian walk in the Lord. My benediction is coming from Jude 24 and 25. And it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen." Praise be to God. I want to thank all of my listeners on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Blog Talk Radio for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you till we meet again next week, Tuesday. Oh, next week, we'll be out for a week because I'm going to a convention, so there will be no broadcasting for the week of the 24th, and we will be back on, praise God, we will be back on May the 2nd. Amen. To God be the glory. I love you guys and thank you again for tuning in to Pray One for Another. Good night, everybody, and shalom.
darkness into his glorious light of redemption. Let us pray. Repeat after me. Lord, I am sorry for my sins. I repent for my sins, and I thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins. Jesus, I ask you to come into my life right now. Be my Lord, Savior, and friend. Let your Holy Spirit abide in me. Help me to follow you all the days of my life as your disciple. I thank you for forgiving me and receiving me right now. Any prodigal sons and daughters out there that would like to be rededicated, let us pray. God, I am sorry for my sins. I am sorry that I have strayed from you. I ask you for your forgiveness. I repent for my sins. I don't want to live like a prodigal son any longer, or a prodigal daughter. Renew, revive me as I once again follow you. I thank you, Lord.
Belongs to you. thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 104.